Our third reading is from Matthew's account of Jesus' life. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
When the newspapers publish their reviews of 2012, they might call it the year of the leadership crisis. Bob Diamond has been the highest profile casualty in the finance industry. In politics, Andrew Mitchell was forced to resign after his alleged tirade against a police officer in Downing Street. And in the media, we've lost the Director General of the BBC, and Danny Baker resigned live on air, calling his station managers pinheaded weasels and saying that he hoped they would choke on their own abacus beads. 2012 has been the year of the leadership crisis. There was another leadership crisis in the year that Jesus was born. The Bible reading we've just heard from Matthew's Gospel gives us a vivid picture of two kings. Now, traditionally, we thought of the story of the Magi as the story of three kings, as in we three kings of Orient are. When I worked in publishing, one of our suppliers was called Stephen King. It's a great way for a sales rep to get your attention, by the way. I've got Stephen King on the phone for you. Steve used to send out every Christmas a card with a picture of his three children, and the message was, "Merry Christmas from our three kings." You see what he was doing there? Clever, isn't it? It was probably unkind of me to tell him that actually the Magi from the East weren't kings, and we've no idea how many of them there were. As far as we can tell, the Magi were astrologers. Pagan religious leaders, maybe, who travelled to the land of the Jews to meet with the two rival kings of our story. If you'd like to look down again at that passage from Matthew 2, which we just had read, you can see in the first couple of lines who the two kings were. King Herod and the one who was born King of the Jews, Jesus Christ. I think Matthew intends us to compare and contrast these two rival kings as we reflect on the leadership crisis of that year. The Magi came from their far-off country and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" King Herod responds with understandable agitation. You see, he is meant to be the King of the Jews. And yet he was appointed to the role by the Roman emperor. He didn't even know the Jewish scriptures. He had to call in the experts to find out where the Christ, the promised king, was meant to be born. And then he secretly got out of the Magi when the Christ had been born, on pretense that he wanted to go and worship him himself. But like many leaders in our present age, Herod was only really interested in looking after number one. Matthew tells us a little bit later the real reason why King Herod wanted to know the place and time of Jesus' birth. He sent and killed all the small boys in Bethlehem in an attempt to kill this rival to his throne. Now, far be it from me to suggest that those sorts of tactics smack of the sorts of tactics which we see here in the city each year. But I wonder whether we can detect any echoes in our own leaders of Herod's behaviour, concerned with personal security and status, acting with cunning and subterfuge, willing to be ruthless to protect and advance their own interests. Have you come across anything like this? I'm sure not in your own office, but have you come across it anywhere else? This might be awkward if you're sitting next to your boss at the moment. Herod displays the typical traits of human leadership down through the ages. It's the story of two kings, though, and the other king in the story is quite different. The second king didn't work his way to the top through ability or cunning or ruthlessness. He didn't even enjoy the patronage of the establishment, as Herod did. Instead, he was acknowledged as king, even as a newborn baby. And unlike William and Kate's baby, it wasn't because of his parents' privileged position either. Imagine the stark contrast that the Magi must have experienced between their interview with Herod, no doubt in an opulent palace surrounded by flunkies, and then their meeting down the road with the baby Jesus. By the time they got there, he might have been moved out of the animal trough into something slightly more suitable, but still a vulnerable baby in a small town with his unknown mother. He's an unlikely candidate in the leadership stakes, isn't he? Which of us would have followed him over King Herod? And we're given a clue in that passage from the Old Testament, that quotation from the Jewish scriptures there, of the sort of king that Jesus would grow up to be. It's there in the middle of the passage. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." A shepherd. It's an odd image for a king, isn't it? Then, like now, a shepherd would have been one of the lowest in society. So why a shepherd? Well, it's an echo of many of the leaders of God's people in the Old Testament. So it actually helps confirm that Jesus is the promised king. But more than that, the shepherd is a wonderful metaphor for Jesus' leadership. One writer says this: "The shepherd lives with his flock and is everything to it, guide, physician, and protector." This is no aloof, cunning, and ruthless leader in his palace or in his glass office. And the promised shepherd king was going to gather a new people of God, leading them into blessing and security through his tender care and through his self-sacrifice. Jesus himself, as an adult, said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." You see, the Herod type of leader will always try to shift blame onto others to save himself. But Jesus took the blame from others, and he was punished on the cross so that others could go guilt-free. If King Herod, like many leaders today, is marked by self-interest and cunning and ruthlessness, his rival King Jesus is marked by humble vulnerability, pastoral care, and ultimately, willing self-sacrifice. I think Matthew wants us to ask, Which leader will we follow? And I think he wants us to follow the example of the Magi, the travellers from the east. I think we can see three steps in their response. First, they took notice of a strange revelation. Something happened in the cosmos to capture their attention. Now, there have been various attempts to explain the star that they saw, but all we really know is that they saw something sufficiently surprising to lead them to make the long journey to Jerusalem and then down the road to Bethlehem. I think the story is incredible enough to think that you wouldn't invent it if it wasn't true. I don't know whether their friends and family mocked them. You can just imagine it, can't you? Why are you bothering with that star business when you've got money to earn and the lawn needs cutting? Like today, for them then, taking notice of such things wasn't cool, and it didn't endear them with the establishment either. But they took notice of a strange revelation. Second, they went out of their way to investigate. I imagine it must have been a journey of weeks, if not months, costly to them financially, and keeping them away from their families and their regular responsibilities. And third, they responded with costly and joyful worship. It's hard for our translations to capture the sense of the words there in verse 10. It literally says something like, they rejoiced with an exceedingly great joy. Or maybe they were thrilled to bits. And they paid homage to the baby Jesus with the costly and symbolic gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Well, that's the Magi's response. What about yours? Everyone in Matthew's gospel is either on a path to worshipping Jesus or actually on a path to crucifying him. We might like to think that we're neutral, but actually we're all on one path or the other. What about you? I've tried to show you just a glimpse today of a strange revelation. Not for us, a new star in the sky, but an even stranger story which claims to be history. How will you respond? It may be you're already a worshipper of Jesus, but for lots of us here today, I imagine it's far too early for that. The leadership crisis of the first century will have far more lasting implications for us than the leadership crisis of 2012. Bob Diamond and George Entwistle will soon be forgotten. But Jesus Christ said that he was the king who would one day hold the whole world to account for our response to him. So let me simply ask you, will you go out of your way to investigate? For the Magi, that meant a long and costly journey away from family and friends and regular responsibilities. For us, going out of our way to investigate is unlikely to mean much of a literal journey, but we might find it just as hard. You've heard a strange revelation. I think there are three ways that you might go out of your way to investigate. The first would be to take one of these little booklets on your way out. It's called The Real Christmas, and it describes a bit more about what Christians believe and why. Let that be our Christmas present to you. They're just on the table by the door as you leave. The second would be to come along to our regular Tuesday lunchtime talks here at St. Botolph's. The details are on the sheet. Each Tuesday lunchtime, there's a short explanation of an aspect of what Christians believe applied to our 21st century working lives. And the third way you might investigate is to sign up for a course called Christianity Explored, which is going to be running for 7 lunchtimes once a week in the new year. Each session has a DVD presentation and time to discuss and ask questions and object if you want to, as well as to read some of the source materials for the Christian faith yourself. Will you do that? Are you willing to respond to the strange revelation of the Christian message by going out of your way to investigate further? I hope so. Let's pray, shall we? When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Our Father God, we thank you and praise you for the good news of the birth of the baby Jesus Christ, the true Shepherd King. We pray, our Father, this Christmas, as we sing carols, as we hear readings, as we reflect on what we've heard, please keep those words from just rushing past us. But we pray, our Father, that you will stir us up to work out what we make of this strange story which claims to be true. Please bring any who don't know Jesus to come and investigate these claims. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen.